Hello, how y'all doing? Before I get started, I want to thank the committees and anybody responsible for having me here tonight. It's a great honor to be here. Hell, it's a great honor to be anywhere sober, you know? Man, y'all some beautiful people, you know that? Wow, man, y'all should see what I see. Man, y'all are something else now. Y'all not the same people who used to drink them bars with me, are you? Because y'all didn't look like that. Y'all didn't look that good, man. Y'all's hair's all fixed and stuff. Y'all got on decent looking clothes and stuff. Ain't none of y'all bleeding. Must not have been in bar either then. Anyway, I just want to thank y'all for letting me be here because I don't believe there's any way possible to come from where I came from to Texarkana, Texas, 32 years and 3 months later. I don't believe there's no way you can make that trip. God can and he will, and I just had to get out of the way and let him. And it's a great honor to be here with y'all. Thank you. Hello, everybody. My name is Alan. I'm an alcoholic. And by the grace of God and the help of a lot of people in meetings like this and people like you, I haven't found it necessary to take a drink or any other mind-changing chemical since the third day of August, 1971. For that, I am indeed grateful. And I know a lot of other folks is grateful, too. I tell you what, there won't be a whole lot of drunk log in my talk. And would y'all mind too much if I took this coat off? Thank you. It's burning me up.
Here you go, Jane. I got my own out right here to catch the
All right. That's in case I spit my teeth out too, she can catch them and hand them back to me. But anyway, if y'all come here expecting drunk log, you ain't gonna hear too much of that because I ain't gonna go into that because I'm gonna tell you the truth. I don't think you need nobody to tell you how to drink. I think that's why you're here. You know, I'm going to tell you a little bit about my drunk log, and I'm going to qualify myself, then I'm going to go on into my recovery. Because I'm going to tell you what happened, what it was like, and what it's like today. And it's hard to do that in 1 hour. So I'm going to get on with it. In 1970, I'm a carpenter, and I work construction. And I was working down at Dow Chemical, and I was working a shutdown down at Dow Chemical in we worked at 712s, and I did it for about 4 or 5 months, and we got off that shutdown. I went to the Union Hall, had a pocket full of money, and went down to the Union Hall, paid some dudes, and messed around a little bit to see if there was anything else to get on. And me and a young man was coming down the steps, and he said, "Let's go across the street and have a beer." And I said, "Well, man, it's going to have to be a quick one. Because I got a lot to do, man. I've been busy. I've been working a lot of hours, man." And I said, "I need a lot of stuff to do." He said, "Okay." So we walked across the street. That was Monday morning, about 9:30, 10 o'clock in the morning, to have a beer. That's impossible for an alcoholic. I came to in El Paso, Texas, on Friday. I had 20 cents in my pocket and 3 pocket rockets. And I had on one shoe and one sock, and they wasn't on the same feet and no shirt. And I called down in Santa Fe, Texas, to that woman that I was married to at the time, and I will refer to her as old What's-Her-Name from this point on. I called old What's-Her-Name, and I told old What's-Her-Name to send me some money, and old What's-Her-Name told me what I could do, and I told her what I was going to do when I got there. I hung up that phone and I put them pocket rockets in my mouth and for many years in AA, I would tell you that I hitchhiked back to Santa Fe, and that's about 900 miles. And that was a lie. The truth is I stole a car. I'd steal a car and drive it till the gas went out, and I'd steal another one and drive a little further. Because you see, alcohol wasn't my only problem. I had an outside issue, and it was called stealing cars. And I loved to steal cars. The truth of the matter is I still like to steal cars. God won't let me do it no more, you know. Y'all pull up some of them fine rides in my head, means I'll be doing stole it twice in my head. Boom, boom. Thinking about what you think about when you come out of that meet, I'd be riding in your car. Ta-da. Going to the chop chop. Da-da-da-da-da-da. I can play with that. God said I can do it as long as I don't put no action to it. I can think about it all I want. And buddy, I do it because I like it. And you know, I steal them car. I got back there. Got back to Santa Fe. I put a knot on her head just like I told her I would on what's her name. I went to the chop shop, chopped the car. Got a pocket full of money. I'm back on the road again. I'm back at it, man. Well, in 1970, my brother, my oldest brother, came to a program called Alcoholics Anonymous. And he come over to my house and told me, he said, man, I ain't got a drink no more. I said, good for you. He said, you want to go with me? I said, no. Well, my oldest brother kept browbeating me till I went to a few of them A&A meetings. And I'd go down to Angleton, Texas, and they had this little bitty short guy. And I could talk about him today because he's gone to the big meeting in the sky. His name was Frenchy Arsenault. And he's a little bitty fella, and he'd get right up in my face and say, you got a problem with alcohol? I said, nope. Wasn't no problem. I said, I'm down here because my brother's in this program. My dad's in the penitentiary for 13th offense DUI. And I'm trying to find out something about this program. And, you know, and I thought I was running a real good con on them until I came in the program and I realized they never sent me with the Al-Anon. They always kept me with them drunks. And whenever they'd get out them chips, they'd bump me and I'd get up and get one of them chips and they'd all clap. And on the way home, I let my brother let me out at the beer joint. A block from my house and I'd get drunk and I'd walk home, I'd pitch them chips in this field. Somebody asked me one time, said, did you ever go back and look for them chips? No, they didn't work. What I want with them? I don't want them. But on August the 2nd of 1971, I was working on a college in the mainland, Texas City, Texas. I was a sawman, and it rained us out about 10 o'clock in the morning. Now, if any of y'all work construction, I don't know if you do or not, but you know when it rains you out, you go home. Well, you know, we even got songs about that. You know, well, we did. You know, oh, Lord, if it's in your power, give us one little rain out shower. Oh, Lord, if you can see fit, make it rain on all this shit. I want to go to the beer joint. You know, that morning it was raining, man, and I went to the beer joint. Here I go to the beer joint. Boom, boom, boom. Man, I get to that beer joint, I get in there, I stay all day long, man. Get in a couple fist fights. Oh, man, things are going good, you know. And all my clothes tore off. You know, I'm doing good, man. I'm looking good. Got a big old hickey on my eye. I go home, though, watch the night, and I thump her on the head a couple of times. Boom, boom, boom. And thump her on her eye. Boom, boom. You know, she got to run that mouth. So I left her. I packed all my guns, got in my truck. I'm going to get drunk. Now, I can't hardly walk. I'm going to, you know, and I love guns. Well, I did one of them pass-out numbers, you know. I don't know if any of y'all ever done that, but I do it. And I passed out, and I woke up. I came to, and it's about 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. I don't really know, but I sat up on the side of the bed, and I looked over there. There's a little old mirror over there. And I looked in that mirror, and I didn't know that guy looking back at me because that guy just didn't care. He didn't care about anything or anybody. He didn't love nobody. Only person in the world I loved was my mom, and that's it. I hated everybody else. I hated all of y'all. I hated everybody. I hated me most of all. And I didn't care about anything. It didn't matter. Them old guys would pull them guns on me and them beer joints. I'd get right in his face and say, pull the trigger, man. Pull it. Go on, do it, man. I don't care. You know, and they look at you weird, you know, and you just bop them in his eye. Boom. You know, you ain't going to pull the trigger. Boom. Boom. You know, that's how crazy I was. Crazy. You know, I was crazy, man. And that morning, I looked in that mirror, and I didn't recognize that fella looking back at me. I reached over on that bed and I picked up that big old pistol. And I said, I'm going to fix this. Man, you can't go on like this no more. You're an animal and they don't need, the world don't need you. And I cocked that pistol and I put it in my mouth. And I've heard alcoholics, anonymous people talk about that. And they said they didn't do it because it would hurt or it'd make a big mess or, you know, for some reason or other, they didn't do it. Truth was, folks, I didn't care one way or the other. I just didn't care. I didn't care. It didn't matter. But I remember saying, God, if you're out there, and I don't believe it. I don't believe you are. But my mom and him believes you're out there. And if you really are, please help me because I can't help myself. I completely surrendered to alcohol. My life was unmanageable by me. I couldn't go any further. I came to the end of the rope. That was the end of the trail. I passed out. I had a bad habit of doing that. Right at the right moment, boom. I come to, I'm in Santa Fe, 18, 19 miles away, and I'm beating on my oldest brother's door. Boom, boom, boom. About 3 o'clock, 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, early. Now, my oldest brother's a big guy. He's bigger than Doug and me. I mean, he's a big fella. And he don't like a whole lot of people. He really don't. And he don't like nobody at 4 o'clock in the morning. You can believe it. He don't even like himself at 4 o'clock in the morning. And he come to the door and he said, this better be good because somebody's supposed to get the ass kicked. And he opened that door and he looked at me, and to show you what kind of shape I was in, he said, oh my God. Oh my God. And I said, yeah, brother, I've had enough. I can't go no more, man. This is it. This is it. I can't do it no more. He said, okay, come on in. We went in there and we drank coffee till daylight. We drank coffee to daylight, and he had to go to work. And when he got ready to go to work, he told me, he said, can you stay sober all day today? And I said, yes. And he said, don't take none of them funny little pills. You come back here 7 o'clock tonight, I'll take you to Alcoholics Anonymous meeting. I said, okay. I went home, went back over to that motel, got them clothes, went back to that house, where all what your name was. But I'm smarter than my brother. I know he don't get home until 7 o'clock. When he drove up in the driveway at 5:30, I was standing there. Now, I ain't had nothing to drink, and I ain't had none of that stuff all day, man, and I am nervous. I'm smoking Pall Mall cigarettes 3 at a time, brother, and I'm busy. You hear me? I mean, I'm coming up. I'm doing my number, you know? I'm getting real quick, man. And I said, brother, call them people up, man, and tell them to come put that healing on me or whatever they do, man. Come tell them to come do it. I got to have some relief, brother. Just shoot up in here amongst us. Somebody's got to have some relief, you know. Tell him to come do it. He said, man, you just don't understand. I said, damn that, man. Just tell him to come put the healing on me. You know, I didn't care know what you was going to do, and I didn't care. You know, I just needed some relief, man. And he said, you don't understand. He said, I'm going to go in the house, eat my supper, take my shower, read my paper, 7 o'clock, I'm going to Amy. And if you're here, you can go with me. I said, okay. So he goes in the house. I go out in the street, and I start walking them down in the street, in the neighborhood. Them neighbors get nervous now. Some of them folks got new cars and stuff, you know. And they done read about me in the newspaper and stuff, you know. My sister-in-law come out and said, ah, you got to come out the street, or they're going to have you arrested. Now, you know what kind of guy I am. Most of y'all know. I got to stand in the street and tell them about it. Go on, call the police. See my daddy. You know, she said, come in the yard, man. Crazy man loose in the neighborhood. I'm all up in the yard, man. She goes in the house. I'm all up in the fly beds and everywhere. I'm smoking them palm balls 3 at a time. You know, lighting another one. You know, I'm crazy, man. She comes in there and gets me and takes me in the house. And she pours the coffee, man. I shake it all over the floor. And she wipe it up and pour me another cup. People caring about me when I didn't care about myself. People loving me when I wasn't capable of loving myself. That's what it's about. 7 o'clock finally got there. We got to the A meeting. Now, I don't know about none of y'all, but did y'all dress for your first AA meeting? I did. I didn't have no good clothes, so I didn't do that. But I had the good pistols. I had a 45 in the middle of my back, a 9mm on my leg, and a boot knife on this side. Now, I didn't have a clue what you was going to do, but I was ready for you, whatever you was going to do. And I get about a block from that meeting, and I'm thinking about that little guy. You know, I see this little guy, you know? And I said, what am I going to do if he tells me, man, we tried to give you this program, and you didn't want it. So now you want it, you got to go, man. I said, what am I going to do if he run me off? I'm going to die. You know, I did not know that the only requirement for membership was a desire to stop drinking. I didn't know that you couldn't run me off. My Al-Anon tells me, and that's my Al-Anon right there. My Al-Anon tells me, you know, anybody can get in AA. You got to know somebody to get in Al-Anon. But look who you know. Oh, man. They sick. They sickies. But I get to that AA meeting, man, and I'm worried about that little guy. I thought it was something like the Masons or something, you know, or the Union Hall, where they could blackball you and throw you out. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know that you couldn't run me off. And I'm looking and I'm bobbing and weaving and looking. You know how you do that, man, like you do on the corner? You know what I'm talking about? Some of the people in here know what I'm talking about. Anyway, man, I feel this hand come on my shoulder. And I turn around and it's just a little guy. And I grab it. And what does a good alcoholic do that's bothering? I grab him by the shirt and say, I want to talk to you. And out the door we go. We get outside and I got to tell him quick, you know. Look here, man, I'm an alcoholic. I got to have this program. I'm dying from this disease. And if you try to run me off, I'm going to beat the hell out of you. He said, I don't want to run you nowhere, man. I do not want to run you nowhere. Caring about you helps me. Helping you helps me. I cannot keep this program if I don't give it away. And I looked at him all weird, you know. And he said, don't worry about it. It's okay. He gave me a card with a quarter in it. He said, call me anytime, day or night. I care. And I believed him. I don't know why I believed him, but I believed him. And I still have that quarter today in my desk at home. And you know, I couldn't believe that this guy cared, but I could feel it. I could feel it in his voice. I could feel it in his actions. And then he made a big mistake. A big, big, big sin. He hugged me. I said, whoa, homie, whoa, ho, ho, whoa. I don't play that, homie. Oh, no, now. Get back, man. I thought he was reaching for my gun or something. I don't know what he was doing, but don't put that hug in. Shake my hand, man. Don't be hugging on me, homie. He said, sorry. I said, yeah, maybe. Come on in the meeting, man. So I went on in AA, bought me a cup of coffee, man. And I sat down. And I was in AA for 30 minutes. And I had the answer. I had the answer I've been looking for. You told me I never had to drink again. You gave me the answer. Be careful what you're telling you. They hear it. I'm telling you I heard it. And you said, work the steps and you'll never have to drink again. I did the next 30 minutes of that program. The next 30 minutes of that meeting, I worked all 12 of them steps. You said to the best of my ability. That's what you said. I took you at your word. The very first step of Alcoholics Anonymous, I worked it in that motel room. I did it with God in that motel room, and I ain't never had to do it no more. I still am powerless over alcohol, and God is my manager, and I know that today. I ain't never had to do that because I know from my heart, inside my soul, I know that I gave my life to God. And I know that he took that thing away from me. I know that. The second step out of Alcoholics Anonymous, it says something about insanity. Well, hell, you don't be doing what I've been doing and not be sane, bro. That's pure, dumb, crazy, insane stuff I was doing. So you got your work cut out for you. Step three, God. I don't believe in God. Chunk that one. Write an inventory. Well, I ain't about to write that shit down. That stuff will send me to penitentiary, man. And I sure ain't telling nobody about it. I don't need that. Now, character defects and shortcomings. I don't even have a clue what that is. I must have some. Get on with the working on them, you know. Now I'm on step eight. I ain't been here 10 minutes. I'm already on step eight. I can write you a list of all the people that had harmed me. And I was ready to make you a list of all of them. And they could start making their amends to me immediately. In cash. I needed the money. Now we're on step 10. See, I can get on with this stuff now. This mind works. Now, I don't make mistakes, none that I'll admit to, so I don't need that. Now I'm on step 11, I'm more God, I don't need that, so I'm gone. I'm on step 12. Now if any of y'all need any help, step on up here and give it. I'll give it to you. Guess what, nobody stepped up there. Because like my sponsor said, you can't be who you are not, and you can't give away what you ain't got. You can believe that. And I had nothing, so I could give nothing. So I'm in AA a while, and you know, I didn't want no book. I didn't want no sponsor. I didn't want no God. I didn't want none of that. All I wanted was to not drink. I didn't need that other stuff. All I needed was to not drink. I take care of all the rest of it. See, I still got a little control problem. A little one. Well, I'm going to tell y'all why I got a sponsor. Because y'all aggravating, that's why. Y'all can aggravate somebody to death now. Who your sponsor? You got a sponsor? Why come you ain't got no sponsor? You just doing it the hard way. You ain't got a sponsor. Oh, I'm going to get a sponsor to you. All right. Hush, just be quiet, man. I called this lady with 11 years sober, Neva G. She's gone to the big meeting in the sky. And I love Neva. Neva was a tough old broad now. And I called her up and I said, I need to make a sponsor appointment with you. I need to come see you. She said, come on over here, fool. And I went over to her house. Got out the truck. She said, what you need? I said, I need to know how to get a sponsor. She said, get you somebody you like. I said, I don't like nobody. I don't even like you. She said, good. I don't like you either. I said, that's fine. She said, get somebody that you trust. Now, if you come off your streets like I did, and you tell me you trust somebody, I'm going to watch you because you're going to lie about something else, too. And my sponsor explained that to me. Trust is something that you earn. It ain't something you give. You want me to trust you, you become trustworthy. You earn it, and then I'll trust you. Because you give it to me, it ain't worth having. But you earn it, it's worth having. That's what I've learned since I've been here. So the next thing out of this lady's mouth saved my life. And she said, well, hell, I'll go get you somebody as sorry as you are. Well, that eliminated about 95% of AA. But I knew one, and his name was Jesse C. And I went and asked Jesse to be my sponsor. Now, I did that wrong, too, because I got 15 days more sobriety than he got. But he is smarter than me. He went and got a lady, Neva, with 11 years, and Dick with 6, And they taught him, and he taught me. And I'm going to tell you something. I have the very best sponsor in Alcoholics Anonymous. Boy, none. My sponsor is the best there is. And I'm going to tell you why I believe that. Because I will listen to him. And what he says, I hear. Because, see, sometimes what you say ain't what I hear. And I'm going to tell you something else. If you don't think that your sponsor is the very best sponsor there is, you got the wrong one. You better get you another one. Because you die behind this stuff. This ain't no play game now. This is life and death stuff. You better get somebody you can listen to. You better. And I promise you, if you do, you got a beautiful road ahead of you, brother. You got a beautiful thing ahead of you. It's going to be some rough road. It's going to be some bumpy road. But there's going to be some miracles. And oh, are you going to be surprised? Just keep coming back. That's what it's about. They tell you things in Alcoholics Anonymous like, don't get no resentment. Resentments kill alcoholics. Well, now, you tell me not to go get a resentment. That's exactly what I did. I went right away and got me one. If you tell me I ain't supposed to have one, I'm going to get me one. She come in the form of a little white-headed lady about that big. Her name is Olga M. And she's something. And I hated that lady. Man, did I hate her. I'd run from her. I won't be no mean where she was. I go down to Angleton, and I'll be damned, she'd be the guest speaker. I go to Texas City, she'd be chairing the meeting. I go to 24-Hour Club up in Houston, she'd come in and sit down right beside me. I love you, big Al. I said, I don't love you, you can bleed ass. So I come up with an idea how to get to take care of this. I'm riding down the road with my sponsor and his sponsor. I said, I'm going to take care of Olga, man. I'm going to bust a cap on her. Dick said, good. I don't like her either. He's sick, too. We ride a little further. He said, look here, man. Pray for her for 30 days. In the 30 days, if you still hate her, you got my permission to shoot her. And I'll bring you some cigarettes in jail. I said, okay. I ain't worried about jail time. I don't care about it. So anyway, but if you solve a problem for a drunk, you always got another one right behind it. He got four more questions. He's like a little kid. He got four more questions right behind him. I said, how you pray for him? Well, I don't believe in God. I don't know how to pray. You told me every day to get on my knees and ask God to see me through this day without a drink and to thank him at night. And that's what I've been doing. I don't know how to do none of that other stuff. I didn't know how to pray. He said, just say, God bless Olga because you can. I said, okay, when did I do that? He said, every time you think about it. On the way in to work in the morning, I'd burn her up. In a meeting, oh, brother, I'd be mumming, God bless Olga, God bless Olga, God bless Olga. And she'd come sit down by me. I love you, big Al. I said, God bless Olga, God bless Olga. Don't let me hit this bitch. Don't let me hit this bitch. God bless Olga. I'd be sitting on my hand. God bless Olga. Well, 26 days into this thing, I'm making coffee at an anniversary for Alvin Taylor Street Group, the Alvin Group. Me and my sponsor, we've been making coffee for all them drunks, and it's a lot of coffee, man. And big old coffee pots just like that one back there. And I turned around, cleaned that coffee pot, and I looked in that kitchen, and my sponsor done abandoned me. He done took off somewhere, and there she was. And I said, I'm going to tell you, old lady, why I hate you. She said, please do. And my mind's saying, man, you only got four more days and you can shoot her. She said, please, Al, tell me. I said, okay, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you exactly why I hate you. Because you got a God. It would work for me. I could see it. You walk in a room and there's this glow. I could see it. And I know that God is real. And I know that God's alive. And I know it'll work for me. But I don't know how to ask somebody, a little old lady like you, man, as macho as I am, as much pride and ego as I got, and a big old rough sucker like me, how do I ask a little bitty lady like you something that important? And she said, you just did. She said, I would be honored to show you about my God. And she hugged me. She said, welcome home, honey. It's okay. She bought me a Bible. She taught me how to use it. Taught me what to do with it. And she showed me about God. Because she cared. You see, she didn't only just talk the program. She walked the program. She walked the walk and she talked the talk, brother. She went that extra mile because I was willing to say something. I opened my mouth. I didn't let that ego and that fear and that machoism and that big-ass ego get in my way. And it saved my life. I got this crazy sponsor. Now, my sponsor's crazy, and I want to tell y'all, my sponsor is crazy. All right, and there ain't no doubt about it. My sponsor is stone crazy. But I love him more than life. And he's a good sponsor, but he's nuts. We had an AA meeting, and he'd been my sponsor about a month. And he says, you got a big book? I said, no. He said, go over on the table and steal that one. I said, no way, man. I ain't stealing from AA, man. That's like be sacrilegious or something. Like I know something about religion. He said, let me, whoa, man, whoa, whoa. My sponsor always asks questions, whoa, whoa. He said, would you steal the drink? I said, yeah, I have many times. He said, oh, another word. Let me see. He said, you will steal to kill yourself, but you won't steal to save your life. Now, what's wrong with that? He said, go on over and get it. I said, well, I'll put it like that. I'm going to go get it. He said, go get it. I went over and got it. I still got it today. He said, don't worry about it. Don't worry about that. Just don't worry about it at all. I said, why not? He said, because if you stay around here long enough, you're going to eventually get to the ninth step and you can make amends for that book. And I stayed long enough to make amends for that book. And I worried about that book for 2 weeks. How am I going to tell them? Finally, I got up at the podium at the meeting and I said, I want to tell y'all something. I stole y'all's book. I wanted to make amends for it. They said, sit down, shut up, fool. We don't care. We care about you, man. Pay for the damn book and go on, man. I said, okay, brother. See, they love me when I couldn't love myself, man. They love me. The Big Book Alcoholics Anonymous says, if your spiritual house is not in order, you will surely drink again. It don't say you might. It don't say you got a good chance. It says you will. If your spiritual house is not in order, you will drink again. I said, bull. Ain't no way I'm going to drink again. Ain't got nothing to do with that. Well, one day I'm coming out of Galveston, Texas from work, and my spiritual house ain't in order. I'm still working on that. And I find myself parked in front of the liquor store on 49th and Broadway, Forbes Liquor Store, and I'm going in, and I have no power over it at all. If I walk through that door, I'm drunk. And I don't have any power over it. I don't have any power. I don't have nothing to lean back on. And I heard what you said. I heard you loud and clear in my head. You said, call your sponsor. Call your sponsor before you drink, not afterwards. I said, okay. I said, he ain't home because he's working. But I'm going to call him. And then if I drink, it's his fault because he should have been home to help me. I call his house. He answers the phone. Hello. I said, hey, man. "What's going on, brother?" I said, "Look here, man. I don't know, but I'm here in front of the Forbes liquor store, and I think I'm fixing a drink. And I don't have, I can't, there ain't nothing I can do about it." He didn't laugh. He didn't think it was funny. He didn't get mad. He said, "Hold on a minute, let me think about it." He said, "Oh, yeah, I got it. My old crazy sponsor, I got it. I know how you ain't going to drink." I said, "How's that?" He said, "Take off all your clothes. Get stark naked. Get out in the middle of Broadway in direct traffic." He said, "The police will arrest you. I'll come get you out of jail and you won't drink." I said, "You lost your mind, man. You have gone stone crazy." Boom, I hang up that phone. I jump in that truck and I haul it to, all the way to Santa Fe to his house. I'm in his front yard and I'm jumping all over him about it. "I'm fixing to fire you. I don't need a crazy sucker like you as my sponsor." And he said, "Al." And I said, "What?" And he said, "Did you drink?" And I said, "No." He said, "It's working. Keep coming back." He said, "I knew I had to shock you bad enough to get you here. I can't help you 20 miles down the road. I can help you with eyeball to eyeball." Boy, he's nuts. I got a nutty sponsor, man. He calls me up and he says, "Let's go to a meeting. You want to go?" I said, "Sure, man. We're going to a meeting every day somewhere." We're doing the penitentiaries and everything, man. We make a lot of meetings. And he said, "Where are we going?" He said, "Let's go over to Vida, Texas." I said, "Man, that's about 90 or 100 miles over there. What are we going to do way over there? We live way over there by Hitchcock, you know, way on the coast. It's almost way over there by the border." And he said, "Well, there's a meeting over there." I said, "Okay." So we put some gas in the car and we take off to Vida, man. We get to Vida, Texas. We're riding around. My sponsor said, "Where the meeting at?" I said, "Fool, you brought me over here. I don't even know there is a meeting over here." And he said, "Yeah, there's a meeting over here. It's in the book. Y'all done messed him up, man. Y'all give him one of them books which showed him where all the meetings were. He won't go see if there's really there. So we don't know where the meeting is." He said, "It ain't the Vida, little old bitty place." So we riding around in Vida and see these cars all in front of this building. So we get out. Me and my old crazy sponsor. We walk in the door, and I know we in the wrong place. They got robes and hoods, and they got a big old cross. And they think it's funny, man. And this guy said, "Can I help you?" I said, "I hope not. I hope you can't help me, bro." He said, "What are you looking for, man?" I said, "Hey, me." He said, "Come here, I'll show you." He said, "Right down there, man, that little blue building." I said, "Okay." He said, "That's AA meeting." He said, "Go on down there. I'll be down there in about 15 minutes. And he did, and he sat by me. Why they always want to sit by me? My sponsor said, "Because they've been drawn to the sick ones." You know, my sponsor's something, man. My sponsor's really something. He's so something. I don't know why I'm going to tell you this, because I'll never bring this up in my talk, I'm about to bring this up. Y'all know about anonymity? Well, I got a mama that's something. She loves Alcoholics Anonymous. Me and my sponsor started a new group called the Santa Fe Group, and this last August celebrated 31 years of being there. And me and my sponsor started that group because they needed a meeting there. And my mom would run around town telling everybody that if their kids needed help, call me and Jesse, that we had a good AA group going and that we were doing AA. And my sponsor said, "We need to go talk to her about that anonymity." I said, "Okay." So he said, "Well, go on over there and I'll be over there in a minute." I should have knew something was wrong with that. I went over there, you know, my mom's over there, and I sit at my mom there, she gets a cup of coffee. I tell her all about anonymity and tell her I don't want her doing that no more. And that lady got through and she said, "Are you through?" I said, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Where'd you check your sponsor at?" I said, he'd be here in a minute. He said, he ain't coming. He knows better. He sent you over here because you dumb. She said, but I'm going to tell you something. She said, when you was out there doing that stuff and I was reading about you in the paper, said all them women around here would talk about how sorry you was. And you know what? I couldn't say a word. Because I'd be embarrassed and I'd be hurt. I couldn't say anything because it's true. And she said, they never let me forget that. Told me about it every time they see me. And she said, now that you're sober and doing what's right, I ain't going to let them forget it either. And if you got a problem with that, then you better deal with it. Now get out of my house before I beat your butt. I said, yes, ma'am. And I went over to my sponsor. I said, chicken shit. He said, I can't believe you was that dumb. Did she whop you? I said, no, but she almost did. My sponsor, something. You know, God puts many blessings on me. I would like for y'all to know that I love the program called Al-Anon. I love to pick on them. I love to pick on them. But I want to show y'all my beautiful Al-Anon. Would you please stand up, Jeannie? And I got a reason I'm going to let you see her, because I got some stuff I'm going to say about her in a minute. It's real good stuff. But anyway, anyhow, we rocked along, and I'm about 24 years sober, and, you know, in 1995, and they had a world conference out in California. I wanted to go, and I went home and talked to my Al-Anon, and they can do some tricks with them books. I don't know how they do that, but we came up with enough money. We had an older son living out there, and we went out there and stayed with him, and right north of San Diego, right there in South L.A., and I went to the conference. Well, now, I want to tell you about that. Now, back when I was doing my amends, there were some of those amends that I couldn't make. And my sponsor asked me the same question some of y'all sponsor asked y'all. Are you willing, if it ever comes up, are you willing? And I know exactly what you say. Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, for sure. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Because you know you ain't got to do it. Believe me, because that's what I did. Because I couldn't go to California. But I was going there and then. My sponsor said, good, you're going to California, man. You can make him amends while you're out there. I said, you ain't forgot that? He said, nope. Write them down. I said, okay, I'll do it. I wrote them down. I want to see them. See, my sponsor still don't believe me. We went out there. I got to tell you a little funny thing happened. I got travel agents and all kinds of stuff. I was supposed to get I asked him for a Lincoln Town Car, because if I was going to go, because see, I'm not real good at being good to me, and I don't know how to do that. I know how to send my wife out there to see the boy, and I know how to send people to help. I know how to help people, but I can't help me. I don't know how to be good to me. I have to learn. I'm still learning that. And to me, to go to California, to be good to me, it's a tough deal. It ain't an easy deal. But if I'm going, I'm going to go first class. So I want a town car. I asked the man for a town car. He said, there ain't any. I said, there ain't no town cars in Southern California. He said, no. They're having an AA convention and them drunks done rented them all. He said, we got a Cadillac. I said, give me the Cadillac. I can do the Cadillac. I get out there, the little, I hope the Arab person is behind the thing. He's talking funny. And he said, we got no Cadillacs. I said, well, go steal one because my paper says Cadillac, man. He said, I'll give you a Lexus. I said, man, I don't want no souped-up Toyota. He said, man, I'll give you a Gold Series. He said, you can buy two Cadillacs for what they cost. I said, I don't want to buy two Cadillacs. I want one. He said, I'll give you $35 back. I said, now you're talking. Give me the car, man. Because you see, drunks, whenever they're out there drunk, they throw money away like it's water, man. They come in here and they get tighter than a tick. They don't want to put a dollar in the plate. What's wrong with that picture? And it helps them. They still don't want to do it. We get that way. call responsibility. But I went out there. I don't want to get onto that. Anyway, I got that Lexus, and we're going down the freeway, and that thing's got more buttons and knobs in it. I'm pushing them buttons. They're going like this, and this Alan said, "Whoa, Hoss, stop." I'm right in the middle of the Santa Fe freeway. I said, "What?" She said, "You're fixing to eject us out of here. You know, quit pushing them knobs." That car had all kind of stuff on it. I never did figure out what it was. I drove it 2 weeks. Anyway, I went to the conference. I'm down there on Thursday, and I'm looking across at Coronado. And I can't go. Friday, me and Jeannie goes down there. We go to the stadium, to Jack Murphy Stadium. There's 86,000 people in there. They're doing the wave, and they're doing it right because they ain't drunk. They got three cops watching 86,000 people. A case of Jack Daniels would have changed that around. But you know what? They had like 50, 60 countries there, had these flags. They had three fantastic speakers, man. It was awesome, all these people. The old man stood up with 56 years and said, "It works. Keep coming back. I love you." I felt it right there, right in my heart, man. It was awesome. And I always like to tell God how it is. I said, "It don't get no better than this, God." He said, "Oh, yeah, big boy, what's this?" And the man stepped up to the podium and he said, "Okay, would y'all all stand and join hands? We're going to say the Lord's Prayer." Say the Lord's Prayer holding hands with 86,000 people and see if that don't rock your boat. That'll touch you plumb to your soul, brother. I walked out of that stadium float. Now the next day I think I'm bringing my outline back down there, but they don't ever want to cooperate. She said, "I'm going shopping." I said, "You're supposed to go with me." She said, "I'm going shopping. You go on and do whatever you want with your friend." Now I'm by myself. Saturday morning, I'm down there looking back over there at Coronado, and I got that amends to make. And I'm arguing with God. I know none of y'all don't want to argue with God. I know y'all don't do that, but I do. Me and God having a fist fight. He's winning. He always wins. Say, "Go over there. Do it." I said, "Okay." I go get the car. Took me 2 hours to park. As I'm pulling out of the parking place, a guy pulls in my parking place. I'm hot. I am really hot. I go across that stupid tow bridge. I get over there, and I get on that beach, and I read my men. I'm on my knees. And a lot of these people are dead, and a lot of people, a lot of things. There's a lot of things, but I read all these amends out, and I prayed. And some of these amends is about a SEAL team, something. That's where they train, on Yellow Beach, in Coronado Amphib Bay. And I hear something when I stand up, and I look, and there's a DI come bringing a team down there, and they're carrying a telephone pole. And he's talking about their ancestry and stuff, about what he's going to do to them and all that stuff. And when he gets even with me, he stops. And his team goes on, and they don't do that. They stay with the team no matter what. He makes a right face. He looks at me right dead in the eye, and he salutes. And he holds it till I salute him back. Then he turned and went down that beach. Now, you can read that any way you want. I read that God sent him to take my men. That's what I read. I'm going back across that bridge and I'm crying. And this little black lady sitting in the booth said, "Sir, you need 911 or something?" And I said, "No, it's just God kicking my butt one more time." She said, "He does that to me all the time. You go on." She raised the thing, let me through for free. I said, "Lord." I get back over to the parking lot. I'm cruising through there to see where my parking. The guy is pulling out. I parked in the same spot. You believe that? I get over to the convention center. Now, let me tell you something, folks. I don't know about y'all, but it ain't only the bad things that drives me crazy. The good stuff sometimes puts me in orbit. You know, my heart gets going boom, bah, boom, bah. And I'm going nuts. And I'm going up that escalator, and I say, "God, please help me. Let me see somebody I know." And I got off that escalator, and there's Bill A. standing there. He's a big shot. He goes to my home group. He's a very dear friend of mine. He's a rocket scientist, and he's one of the top rocket scientists in the world. And he's a big shot, and he knows it. And he said, where's your wife at? I said, she's over there chopping with the boy. He said, you want to go to dinner? I said, yeah. He said, let's go. Me and you and Denise will go. And I thought we'd just go into a little restaurant. He takes us over to the Hyatt Regency. And he don't want to go to the bottom floor restaurant. He goes to the 25th floor, to the Big Shot restaurant. The guy got the little rag across his arm and all that stuff, and he puts you at the table and all that. You know, I don't look like that kind of folk. I know I don't. But I was looking at him, you know, and he put that little rag, and he puts Denise over there, he put me right here, and he put me right here. And he poured that water and all that. And when I look up, I'm looking out the window, folks. I'm sitting right where I'm looking, right out the window, at Coronado Amphibious, where I had just come from. I can see it, because I'm 23 floors up, and I'm looking at it. And I sat right there and had dinner with two great friends. And I watched the sunset on my men. And I left that hotel that day. And I've never had to drag that cotton sack no more, because that stuff went away. Because I was willing to do what it takes and follow the instruction. A few simple instructions. Become willing. You know, we get back from San Diego, and, you know, my life ain't all that great. You know what I mean? I still got a lot of problems. I got a daughter, baby daughter. She hadn't spoke to me in 15 years at the time. I'd done numerous fist steps on it. I'd talked to my sponsor about it many, many times. I'd called her, I'd wrote her letters. She'd hang up on me and she'd send letters back. I had people talk to her. She wouldn't have nothing to do with me. And my beautiful Al Nine was, on November 3rd, my beautiful Al Nine was in court on jury duty. And as she went out the door, she gave me a kiss and she said, be sure to call Barbara. It's her birthday. And I said, okay. And she said, wish her a happy birthday. And I said, I will. She left and I picked up the phone. And I called and I got an answering machine. Now I hate answering machine. They said, leave a message. I said, I'll leave you a message. No, I can't do that. I can't do that. I really get in trouble. I do one of them little messages, I leave. So, this is what I said. Barbara, this is your dad. Happy birthday. God bless you. I love you. And I'd like to take you to dinner. And I hung up. And I said, now why did you do that, fool? You know she hates you. Why did you offer to take her to dinner? You just setting yourself up to be hurt. One more time, you're an idiot. You don't know nothing. The committee meets up here on my shoulder, and I'm screwed. Soon as the committee meets, we go between my ears. I'm in a bad neighborhood, and I ain't got no business going up there. I need to stay where God lives, brother. Don't go up here, brother. That's a bad neighborhood. Stay out of there. You know, they cutting and shooting in that neighborhood. All day long, man, I'm going nuts. I'm playing that tape over and over and over and over. You know how we do? Playing that tape, playing that tape, playing that tape. Well, I'm in there taking a bath to get ready to go to Amy. Because I'm going down there and tell my two friends, Walter Hall and Bill Adwell, about her. I'm going to have them pray for her. I'll teach her, you know. I have them pray for her. I'm in the shower. My beautiful Al and I comes in there. She hands me the phone. She said, it's Barbara. I said, oh, my God. Now, I'm a great conversation. I talked to everybody. I even talked to Lady Green today already. A bunch. And she don't know me from nobody, but she knows me now. But you know what? And I picked up. I said, hello. She said, Barbara, Dad, this is Barbara. I said, okay. She said, I can't go to dinner with you today. I got your message. I said, all right. She said, I can go tomorrow. I said, oh, shit. I said, where you want to go? She said, I don't care. I said, whoa. She said, Dad, you all right? I said, yeah. She said, let's go to Mexican food. I said, okay. It's right over there by my house. She said, 6 o'clock, I'll meet you over there. I said, you want me to bring dinner with me? She said, no. Just me and you. This is between me and you. I said, okay, I'll be there. I hung up the phone. I went to the Amy. I prayed about it. I'd like to get up tell you the next day I got up and I was fine. That would be a lie. I got up and I was crazy. I was dumb, stupid, and crazy. And I was coming apart. And I had a date with her at 6 o'clock. I started taking showers at 1 o'clock. I took 5 showers, changed clothes 6 times. I couldn't get clean enough or dress right, you know? Finally, this, God bless this Alana, she said, whoa, Hoss, cool it. Come here. Get on your knees. We're going to pray about this. And you go now. Because if you don't go now, you're going to talk yourself out of it. I know none of y'all never done that. And I got on my knees at midnight, I'll not pray. Because we work a program. We work a program. Together. But you see, my Alanine ain't separated from me. She's part of me. And I walked out that door. My daughter's name is Barbara. And she was named Barbara Ann. And she was born in 1965. In 1965, they had a song by the Beach Boys called Barbara Ann. That was nine of that girl's song. I always sang it to her and stuff, and I can't sing, but anyway. And I'm not going to sing it to you today. So anyway, thank God for that one. But anyway, I get in the truck, I turn it on, it's on oldies but goodies, and that song said, Barbara Ann, and I reached over and turned it off and said, shut up, God, I don't want to hear it. God, my God has a sense of humor, man. He likes to kick me right in my behind. Get on over there, boy. I get over there and I'm crazy, man. I'm pushing people out the way. I'm going reverting back to my old ways. I put my hand on the door and I know that I'm going to go in that restaurant. Somebody's going to laugh and say something. I'm going to bust him in his eye and I'm going to ruin the whole thing. You know what? I done what you told me. I said, God, please help me. Paul's on the head, agitated. Paul, God, please help me. Go with me, God. Don't let me say nothing dumb. Let me be okay. I opened that door and I went in and sat down with that young girl. Halfway through that meal, she reached over and grabbed me by the hand. She said, Dad, we can't go back. Finding out whose fault it is. Your fault, my fault. We can't do that. We got to start right today. Building a relationship between dad and daughter, daughter and dad. Because if we try to go back, it'll never work. Because you see, that's the same thing you got to do in this program. Today is the first day of the rest of your life, man. If you're starting today, today's it. Today's the first day of the rest of your life. Start living it. Don't miss this thing, man. Because I'm going to tell you something, folks. You can't get from a motel room in Texas City, Texas, on the third day of August 1971 with a gun in your mouth, soiled and scum, hating everybody, wanting to kill yourself, to Texarkana on November 8, 2003, with beautiful people looking at you, listening to you talk. It won't happen. God can, he will. All I got to do is get out of the way and let him. And guess what? I brought a beautiful lady with me who loves me very much and which I love very much. Another blessing from God. You see, I loved that lady when I married her 25 years ago. I never knew that I could love somebody like that. I didn't think I was capable of it. Well, I'm not. God is. And he showed me how. Because he loves me that much. You know, folks, I'm going to tell you. I thank you from the bottom of my heart to let me be here tonight. And I'm going to close this thing with what my friend Pat used to say that's going on to the big meeting. And he used to say, be humble and don't stumble. Remember, God loves you and so do I. Thank you.